right, so first off, I know you guys have talked about this before, and some other people in sort of the local music scene I've talked to have brought this up as well, that you guys, Old Crans, has been described as stoner country rock.
That's right.
I'd really like to hear, I mean, if there is a story behind this. I know iHeartMusic.net was included that in their review, but I don't know if this was like a self-inflicted label.
It was, to be honest.
Yeah. Joel scratching his head.
Joel came up with it, so we'll let him tell the story behind
it. At our first jam, it was just me, Steve, and Sam, just jamming in the living room, drinking Jack Daniels and eating pizza, and we had just finished, we were just jamming out songs, and I'll have another one too, please. we were just jamming out songs, and I at the end, I have a recording of it on my iPod, at the end of one of the songs, I just mentioned that it just sounded very stoner country in the sense that, like, it had that like country sort of twang, but it also had this like sort of slow element, and like we were all just kind of spaced out, like kind of lost in our own little worlds, just playing music together. And it wasn't really the first time we had played music together. We had played music together before, but it was like you could tell like the three of us were just in our zone.
Yeah.
And then when we jammed the following week with Alex, it like was even more so that we were just like
that label fit,
lost in our own little like. It's always nice to play music and get, like, lost.
It was kind of ridiculous how well we clicked from the get-go. Like, you know, even though Alex, Sam, and I have played together for, like, we played together before I moved to Vancouver, and that was great. But when Joel entered the mix, it was just, you know, it was stupid how, like, fluid everything was and how well the ball started rolling, I guess. And the fact that he labeled it Stoner Country, I think that was awesome because, you know, people would ask, what do you sound like? And we don't really, you know, we can't compare ourselves to other bands. We can't find other bands that it really works, unless it's a melange of like a bunch of different bands. So when we say stoner country, people sort of scratch their heads for a second, but when they either listen to our record or see us live, they understand. They seem to get it. So.
It's because she only crushes. It's because she only crushes on those who crumble apart.
So now it seems to also be this big push in not only the local scene but in the Canadian scene as well to go toward this sort of alt country indie folk, if you will. There's a lot of bands I find coming out sounding like that.
Mm-hmm.
Have you guys had any particular inspirations, whether, you know, local, Canadian, otherwise, that sort of pushed you toward that genre?
I think people, like, especially you notice a lot of like punk and sort of hardcore kids going to that genre, and I just think it's just a natural progression. Like, I mean, when you're young and you're like teenagers, you want to play loud, you want to play fast, you want to just get out all your aggression. But then, like, once you hit like your 20s, you want to start becoming like songwriters and, like, you know, and just like the alternative country is like, it's a fun style of music to play. Like, it's just like,
also call it adult alternative. I think that's fair.
Yeah. But it's just like, it's just, I guess it's that natural progression where, you know, you start to play quieter and you just, you're better at your instruments, so you have more melody and like, your voice becomes better.
That or people move out and they have to play acoustic guitars in their apartment because they can't crank it to 11, right?
But it's also, I think, under the alt-country sort of term, there's a lot of room to play around, you know, because there's that alt that just lets you do whatever, you know, make noise on an Echoplex or whatever that may be.
Yeah.
But then you sort of have that slight twang, you know, to it that, you know, like, you might be storytellers, so that's where the country comes in. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? So
we absolutely have a lot of that alt-country indie folk influence from everywhere, but I think we, like Steve said, the alt gives you some room to play, and we have a lot of different influences that I think we're a little bit heavier, and that's where the stoner comes in as well, is we play a little slower and maybe a little louder, you know, a little less self-aware, and I think that's our niche within that wider genre.
Mm-hmm.
Keep calm. Carry on, keep your chin up where it belongs.
You guys are hitting up North by Northeast this weekend, which you said is your first show in Toronto.
That's right.
Drake Hotel, that's really exciting.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously North by Northeast is a really good setting, it seems, for burgeoning, you know, Canadian artists. How do you guys feel about the Canadian music scene right now, and where do you guys see yourselves fitting in?
stuck with the Ottawa music scene first, I think. That's getting a little bit more.
In terms of the Ottawa, if we do that, in terms of the Ottawa music scene, when we started, I couldn't believe the amount of support that we got, both from promoters and from other bands. You know, we have our little group of friends, you know, be it The Love Machine or Amos the Transparent or any of those bands that, you know, we sort of hang out with and we go and support and likewise. And it's great because we all play a different style of music, so there's no overlap. You know, if we play together, we'll get new fans, and they'll come to our shows, and our fans will go to their shows. I say fans with air quotes, but, you know, who knows? You know, who knows what exists out there? But where do we fit in terms of the Canadian music scene? I don't know. I think the Canadian music scene in general is really great. You know, all I pretty well listen to is CBC Radio 3 and the bands that come out of there, so, and CHUO, I should say, as well. But yeah, I mean, I don't know where we fit in. That's the thing, and that's always been the thing with us. You know, we come from such, you know, different, such a different background, I guess, you know, style-wise, and I think, I'm hoping, you know, if our record gets out there a little bit more, that people will sort of accept that and see that we're not like anything else and maybe latch on as a result.
I think so. Also, though, I mean, if you can say something really broad about the Canadian music scene, I think it sounds Canadian. I think it's starting to sound identifiable, and I think we sound pretty Canadian. I don't know if that's
the case, then
I think it's a good thing.
Yeah, that's great, for sure.
Now, again, with the Ottawa music scene, I mean, you've seen a lot of people relocate elsewhere, Montreal, Toronto, and I know a bunch of you guys have been around the Ottawa music scene for a while, and as you mentioned, there's a lot of support, but are there still any concerns that, you mean, it's, like, the fact that it's hard to make it here?
I think, no. Here, not necessarily. I mean, if you go back to the Canadian music scene thing now, is that we're kind of sitting between two fairly large cities, Montreal and Toronto, and it's not hard to travel through Southern Ontario. So, I mean, I don't think it's really too much of an issue. It may be a bit harder to make a push. There's less people going out to see music on, like, a regular basis, but, like, when they do, they usually go in droves, and that sort of assists.
I'd rather be the bigger fish in the little pond as opposed to, like, you know, the little fish in that big pond of, like Toronto's awesome, and I'd love to just play there as much as we can. But it's that, like, being from out of town, so you're not, you know, you're that out-of-town band that, like, you know, you can't always see so often, you know what I mean? Like, when you go to Toronto and you see, like, the list of shows, sometimes it's so overwhelming, and, like, you know, I don't know if I could, be a part of that. Like, the Toronto scene is, like, great, like, Six Shooter Records and other labels that are there, just phenomenal. But it's that travel to, like, Toronto, it's that, like, traveling to Montreal that it's a bit more of a better experience, just, like, personally.
Sure.
I like going there as opposed to, you know, living there.
Mm-hmm. And I think right before I moved here, back to Ottawa, there was talk, like, should we move to Toronto? Like, should we, like, we, I think we almost did.
I think everyone's had that talk.
You know,
yeah.
I think we almost did, but, you know, when we were contemplating that, Sam and I think came to this: if the music is good, people will hear it. You know, it'll get to whoever it needs to get to, and it'll go from there. You know, so we sort of just live by that sort of mantra and go from there. So, yeah.
Goes to sleep in a pool of his sweat. He's hating all the people, hating all the things that he hasn't even seen.
Whether Ottawa or elsewhere, favorite venue, favorite show you've done so far? You can even go each individually off the top of your head.
I personally, that we just played Zaphod's with Brett Caswell, and just like how, like, I felt after the show, I was like, man, like, you know, when you're just on, and I just felt like that night we were just like, we were on, we were tight, and like, it just sounded so good. Like, the vocals are so on, and, like, credit to, like, the sound guy for, that was Yogi that night, eh?
Yeah,
Yogi. Like, made us sound, you know, pretty all right. But, yeah, I guess that would be one that would, like, that would be up there.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, that was our last show, and you always want, like, the last show to be, like, better than the one before, so...
I would totally echo Joel. I think, I mean, it's a great feeling to have every successive show feel better than the last one. I mean, obviously there's a few here and there where you're like, I wish something had gone better. I don't know what exactly, but something. But I think our last show felt really, really good.
Mm-hmm.
The response was pretty good.
I think for me, like, this is totally like a personal thing, but I can always tell, like, it's a bit off when I start thinking about something else when I'm on stage. But I'm like, oh, you know, I wonder if I left the fridge open. Like, it's just like something stupid. But I mean, I can honestly say, like, these past couple Old Crown shows, I've just been in this total, like, I don't even look at, like, the other boys. I'm just kind of, you know, I'm trusting just everyone, and I just, like, you know, I'm feeling like Alex's kick drum, and I just know, like, when I'm supposed to play, like, and I'm like, that's just like a surreal feeling. And like at the end when I put my bass down, I'm just like, oh man, like I could easily just do that again right now, and it just feels so good. And like I find even at the end of practice, we have a lot of those moments where we're working on a new song, and as soon as it's done, you can tell, like, we don't even have to say anything to each other. I can just like, I just look at Sam, I look at Steve, I look at Alex, and I'm just like, man, like, we know that
it's almost an email 5 days later being like, that song was amazing, yeah, that last jam we did, we need to jam again, like, that's sort of the way it goes.
Yeah, for sure. For me, I'll echo it. I think that the last show was great, but I think one of the highlights for me was we played back in December at Babylon as part of an indie rock sort of holiday party, they were calling it.
Oh, that was good.
With
that was fun.
All of our friends, you know, Amos and the Love Machine and Paramedics and all these bands played, and just sort of experiencing that, and it was such a full venue, and everyone was sort of like, just on that night, I think we played really, really well. Is your record is going okay? So, yeah. So everyone was playing really, really great, and just the overall vibe of the night, like, it just, like, I felt so loved and everything like that. It was such a, like, a warm and fuzzy type of feeling, and it was great. So for me, I think that's been a highlight. But again, like, we get to be a part of such a great scene, and playing with bands like Oceans and all these other guys is just great. So every show that we play, I just get more and more excited about where we're going. So
I think as well, I mean, I already echoed Joel, but I think our last show, one that sticks out in my brain, was our show at Canteen.
That's what was getting my
were you is there, do you want to
sure I mean well just when we played Canteen in the summer, we were playing with Wooden Sky, and it was the most sweltering hot day of that year, and we were just pumped to be on the same bill. But when we hit the stage, if you want to do again in air quotes, I mean, it was packed in there. There were some familiar faces, but everyone was sweating, and like there was a collective like silence while we were playing, and it was just, I don't know, just the mood was perfect for what we were doing. It was stripped down, and it felt honest. And then,
the debut of Sailor,
and it was the debut of Sailor, and that was like quite the epic little. It was a good time of year, and it was just like a solid.
It was cool for an acoustic show too. I mean, it was packed house, and that's kind of a different setting. I mean, an acoustic show is usually kind of a little more informal, and having everybody facing us, I mean, there's photos. I think someone might have been getting married. Yeah. No, but it was just, I don't know, there's photos from that day, and it's just like everyone's standing and paying attention, and that's always a huge bonus.
Yeah.
How did you guys make the decision to go for a digital release, limited vinyl, and no regular
no
old
CDs.
Compact discs, if you will?
Because we were all in the same boat of, like, the four of us, when we've noticed that when we buy a CD, upload it to iTunes, and then it's on the shelf, and I, you know...
Don't touch it
again. The CDs I've bought recently, I haven't touched since, like, you know, I upload them to my iTunes, and then...
I don't even buy CDs anymore. And, I have, you know, I buy, like, vinyl, and you get a digital download inside. And if I want to make a CD for the car,
like, it's great just like sitting in the living room and just putting on a record. And like,
I mean, most people who play music, most people who play music are music lovers. But I mean, like, we all have like that audiophile thing where it's like we want it to sound good. And I think it's a collective decision that vinyl was the way to go. We didn't want to be music snobs, but like our record, we felt, you know, we'd spent time working on the song order and things like that, and we decided that the most interactive and sort of way to do it would be with vinyl. And so,
I mean, even the MP3s, I mean, when you can download it, you can have a lossless version. I mean, you don't have to have the sound degradation of MP3. So if you want to download a high quality digital file and make a CD, like I said, you can do that. But yeah, I think none of us are kind of latching onto that whole album is dead thing. I know that seems to be popping up more and more nowadays.
Release a single song
for
download.
Exactly. Yeah, throw it on iTunes and be done with it. I mean, that seems so.
But that's where the whole CD thing comes in. And like, I agree, in terms of like the CD album is pretty much It's not dead, but it's dying.
Albums,
it's like,
a collection of songs is still a bit of an aside. There was like something in the, it was the, either the Metro or something saying that in May it was the lowest month of album sales in the States.
5 million worldwide.
It was 5 million worldwide, where they were doing 46 million per week before.
Yeah.
So that is like, that's a detrimental loss. But I mean, at the same time, there's all these new exciting things. I mean, I also want to embrace the, I mean, I don't like digital music per se, but I mean, I will embrace the fact that that's the way things are going. By all means.
Well, it's, I mean, it's a democratizing process, right? I mean, we didn't need, we had no, you know, corporate bureaucratic backing doing this, right? I mean, we used the money we pulled in from gigs over the last year to front the money to have vinyl manufactured. We have our own recording studio, and you know, it's allowed us to have that freedom to keep away from from CD sales.
Sorry, for those of you who don't know, Joel,
you just ruined my sound
over a drink. Joel, do you want it?
No, just drink it.
Just drink it. I'll drink it.
I'm sure she's going to bring you one.
Can I just speak just really quickly and personally? Getting to design a vinyl package was a dream come true for me. So
just being on vinyl,
no, Joel, being on vinyl in general is awesome. But getting to design it was pretty great too.
No, so, I remember you looking at the record at the last practice and just like, it was a thing to
guys,
behold.
Guys, we're on vinyl.
You know? We're on vinyl.
Honestly, like, it was beyond exciting. Like, I'm actually smiling about it right now because I remember that moment. But I was just like, this is like unreal, and. I never thought that would happen. And now we're already talking about a second record, and we know it's. Personally, I think we're gonna just go with the same road with it, and like, pay what you want digitally, and then have the vinyl, and like.
I think it's actually helped our sales too. I mean, we've had at our last show we had the vinyl for sale, and I mean we've had enough interest in it. Just almost, I don't know if it's a novelty factor or if it's just. I don't know what it is. Maybe just interest in the album. I mean, hopefully that's actually what it is. But it's. I don't think we would have sold as many on CDs as we did on vinyl.
Mm-hmm.
Just because it's. It makes so much more sense. I don't know. As far as I'm concerned, it makes so much more sense to release vinyl and have digital.
Let's just equate it to that.
Yeah. But again, digital sales have been going pretty great. You know, been.
Yeah.
I want to say steady, but that you know, that's
they're
not
better
really
than we expected off the bat, though, I think.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So
we've had a lot of good support too.
Yeah. No. Definitely. You know. So all we can do is just keep playing shows, keep selling vinyl, and giving out the download cards, and hopefully, you know, it'll just go from there. Yeah.